great to have you at the front here, kids. Thank you for that. Scripture reading today, a little confession time before I do that, is that I'm going to be speaking on something a little different this morning than I first planned. So the reason for that is that I sense that I need to go back and talk a little bit more in plainer language about the kingdom of heaven and what it is. And so that's what I want to do this morning. Our reading is from Matthew chapter 6, and this is what is commonly known as the Lord's Prayer. And in particularly in liturgical type churches, this prayer is recited and repeated every week by thousands and thousands and hundreds of thousands of people all over the world. But this is what it says from verse 5 of Matthew 6. And when you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners, that they may be seen by others. Truly I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you pray, go into your room, shut the door, and pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. Pray then like this: Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And verse 14, for if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. It's a sober word, really, but it's a wonderful word about prayer. But in the midst of that prayer, there's some things sometimes that we might miss. And I want to just draw our attention to one or two of those again this morning. But before we do that, I've got something to read to you. I scoured my files for some smart joke about duck shooting and couldn't find one that was appropriate that everyone could share with you. So instead I'm going to talk about this one. Several men are in the locker room of a golf club. A cell phone on a bench rings and a man engages the hands-free speaker function and begins to talk. The man says, hello. And the woman says, honey, it's me. Are you at the club? The man responds, yes. And the woman says, I'm at the mall now and found this beautiful leather coat. It's only $1,000. Is it okay if I buy it? Sure. Go ahead if you like it that much. And the woman, I also stopped by the Mercedes dealership and saw the new 2017 models. I saw one I really liked. The man says, how much? The woman said, $160,000. Okay, but for that price, I want all the options. Great. Oh, and one more thing. The house we wanted last year is back on the market. They're asking $1 million for it. The man says, well, go ahead and give them an offer. Just make it $900,000. Woman says, okay, see you later. Love you. Bye. Love you too. The man hangs up. Other men in the locker room are looking at him in astonishment. And then he asks, anyone know whose phone this belongs to? Yeah. You saw that coming, didn't you? Yes. Right. The kingdom of heaven. Let's talk about that a little bit this morning. A couple of weeks or so ago, we spoke about what it means to be a sovereign, what a king is, and what a kingdom is. And you know, I believe in the body of Christ, the biggest difficulty we have is understanding the lordship of Jesus. We understand Jesus as Savior, but being Lord, what does that mean? And when we pray quite often, Lord. But what does that mean? And sometimes it's a challenge for us, because when we talk about a Lord, we're talking about the sovereign, the one who is in charge of it all. Jesus spoke about the subject of the kingdom of heaven continuously. Wherever he went, he preached the good news of the kingdom. It was the good news of the kingdom that he preached. He taught the disciples that they were to pray that God's kingdom would come, as we read together this morning. He instructed the disciples to proclaim the kingdom of God. And at least six of the parables, probably more, were illustrations, and we just had a little touching on one this morning in the children's talk, instructing us regarding the kingdom of heaven and what it's like. So the letters of the New Testament, they mention the kingdom of heaven often. It's just a constant theme. The apostles wrote about inheriting the kingdom of heaven. And Jesus said, unless you become like one of these little children, you won't see the kingdom of heaven. What do all those things mean? Yeah, I mean, we read them, and it's sometimes hard to connect with that. It really is hard to connect. There are other kingdoms in the scriptures that are mentioned. There's the kingdoms of this world, and there's the kingdom of darkness. And so a kingdom has to do with, I think there's a slide up here. We've got one there for us, Joe. The kingdom of heaven, a kingdom, is a manifestation of authority somewhere. And the kingdom of heaven is the manifestation of God's authority, his power, and his purposes, whether in a person or a place. It's the extent of his kingdom. To get a bit of an understanding on this, England, quite a few years ago actually, was the world's political superpower. And England went around colonizing all these places on the earth, and we're in Aotearoa, New Zealand, one of those colonies. And a governor came, and what happened was the authority of England was spread out through the governor and his or her assistants to this colony. And it became a little bit of England. And you can go to places like the Solomons, you can go to all kinds of places where there was an attempt in some cases to colonize. But certainly there's a little bit of England, and it's still with us today. Is that true or is that true? There's something there. In fact, this was really the first franchising. And the idea of a franchise is that business was going to be set up in another place and was exactly the same as what it was there. And so you can go to a McDonald's. I'll pray for you if you do. You know, you can go to McDonald's anywhere on the earth, anywhere on this planet, and it's ubiquitous. It's everywhere. You'll find a McDonald's restaurant, and the food all just tastes exactly the same. True? It just is. It's McDonald's, transported to every place on the planet from America. So you know what it is. When you see McDonald's, you can go, yes, I like it. No, I don't. The kids go, yum, yum. It's McDonald's. The kingdom of heaven is a franchise from the very presence of God. It is heaven come to earth. What it was like there, it's like here. Thy kingdom come. So, are you ready? I'm going to say something that may stretch us, you may even think I'm a heretic, but before you bring out the swords and all that kind of thing, please would you just bear with me. Here's the statement I want to say. Jesus could not heal the sick. Neither could he deliver the tormented people from demons, nor could he raise the dead. It's shocking to hear, I know, but let me finish. We will miss the point if we miss the fact that he lived among us with self-imposed limitations as the Son of Man. In John 15:19, Jesus said, "Truly I say to you, the Son of Man can do nothing of his own accord, but only what he sees the Father doing." And I looked up the Greek for word nothing, and it means nothing. He could do absolutely nothing of his own accord. And in Philippians 2, we read that he laid aside his, he emptied himself, the word talks about there, and became like one of us. The better way of understanding that is that he added, he didn't lose his deity as God, but he added humanity to it. And he functioned here on planet Earth as a man in right relationship with God. No sin, but he functioned as a man. He added humanity to his divinity. He became the model for everyone who would embrace this supernatural thing called the kingdom of heaven. It's eternal life that he introduced. That's life now. He that has the Son has life. It's an eternal life. It's a life from his kingdom. The lordship of Christ. So if we're to live as Christ followers, we've got to learn to understand who he is and who we are as subjects of the kingdom. And I want to suggest to you that that is more than showing up to church on a Sunday. A whole lot more. In fact, it's huge when we get to think of it. But I'm concerned, I guess, in my involvement over the last however many years as someone who has given the role of a pastor, to see that so many have missed, and I've missed it. I've missed so much of understanding what it means to be part of the kingdom of heaven. So all of us live in the real world, true? Getting kids ready for school, taking care of animals, burning the toast, struggling with the groceries, got to pay bills. I mean, that's the real world, true? That's the real world. And sometimes we don't sort of think of it like that, but it is the real world. Teenagers struggling with trying to understand parents, parents trying to understand teenagers. Real stuff. But there's also some other real stuff, another reality, and it's the reality of the unseen world, and everyone lives in it. We all live in it. You know, those things that make us feel uncomfortable, unseen. The thoughts that we have, unseen. The emotions that we feel, unseen. We live in this unseen world. And Hebrews 11:1 says, now faith is the substance, the very tangible substance of things hoped for, the evidence actually of things not seen. So faith lives in the invisible world and it moves toward the visible world. And as people of God, so often we forget that we are people who live in this realm dimension of faith. In fact, we all say we want to please God, and it says if you can't please God unless it's with faith. No one can please God except by faith. So faith is a huge thing. Now here's the thing. Your kingdom come. That was the prayer that Jesus said to the disciples you should pray. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. As it is in heaven. So we've been given a commission. And here's another one if you're ready for this. I just want to backtrack. This may be old news for some of you. Maybe new news for some others. We've got to go back to the beginning where we're given the assignment. I'll just use the term man, and for those of us who have feminist appreciation, don't worry, man is all-encompassing. God made man in the image of him, male and female, he made them. So I'll just use that this morning. Man was created in the image of God, placed in the Father's ultimate expression of beauty, his garden, the Garden of Eden. Outside of that garden was a different story. And so often when we read in Genesis, we miss this too. I know I did for years, I missed this. And I want to share this morning with you. In the Garden of Eden, it was a blessing, an order that was there. And there was no sin there. And the first humans were designed to live forever. It was God's intention that they would bear children, and they would live under God's rule, and it would expand. This is what it says. Be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth, and this is what I missed, and subdue it. That's what it says. Be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth, and subdue it. What on earth is there to subdue? Outside the garden, it was a very different story. So it was God's intention that as they bore children, who also lived under God's rule, his kingdom, they would be extending the boundaries of the garden. And everywhere they would go, they would subdue it. They would subdue the earth. The greater number of people in right relationship with God, the greater the impact on the planet. So this was to continue until the whole earth was covered with the glorious rule, kingdom rule of God. This was God's intention. But in Genesis chapter 1, we discover that it's not a perfect world. True? Satan, day star of the morning, being kicked out of heaven. Approximately a third of the angels went with him. They had taken possession or rule of a certain portion of the earth. They had that possession. That's why the rest of the planet had to be subdued. The rest of the planet was under the rule of the kingdom of darkness. The original commission was to subdue the planet. God chose to deal with, he could have just said, let's deal with this enemy. Let's take care of this. But he chose to use us. And it started with Jesus and what he accomplished. So the original commission was to subdue the planet that was under the rulership of the kingdom of the devil. And then we go to a romance story. It's a love story about this whole thing. The Sovereign One placed us, Adam's children, in charge of the planet. This is what it says in Psalm 115. The heavens are the Lord's heavens, but the earth he has given to the children of men. Very facetiously, I said one of the justification in Genesis for hunting, you know, it's the hunter's sort of scripture, is that we're to take care of the planet, and, you know, subdue it and do all those kind of things. We were created before animals. They were subject to us. But this was the very beginning of a romance story, and I want to share that with you a little bit this morning. It was the dominion and rule of God that was going to be expressed through love. But guess what? The enemy, the way he does his rule and reign, it's always through violence, through deceit, and all those kind of things. So Satan came into the garden, but not violently at the beginning. Why? He had no rule there, nothing in the garden. But he came and tricked Eve. You know the story. You could probably tell it to me better than I could tell. He came into the garden that way. Now, man was given the keys of the dominion of the planet. And guess what happened? He was tricked out of those keys. That authority was taken from him through deception. And the enemy has it. It was through agreement. Today, he is still empowered by agreement. When we agree with the lies of the enemy, guess what? We empower that lie. And so often that is the case. So often that is the case. Paul said, you are that one slave whom you obey. So one of the tricks of the enemy is to get us to agree with lies. And that's why the defense of the scriptures, and that's why the truth from God is so important to protect. There's a subtlety that wants to shift it and wants to change it. So all that Adam owned, including the title deed to this earth with its rule and authority, became the possession of the devil. You say, well, how do I know? Well, listen to this. This is from Luke 4, in verse 5. And the devil took Jesus up and showed him all the kingdoms of this world, all their authority, all their rule, and the reign. Kingdoms of this world in a moment of time. And he said to him, to you I will give all this authority and their glory, for it has been delivered to me, and I give it to whom I will. If you then will worship me, it will all be yours. Now, I started by saying that Jesus could do nothing except what he saw the Father doing. And he functioned as a human, just like you and me, even though he was God. And this is why. How could the devil say that to the awesome God if Jesus hadn't set aside and lived in these limitations. Wow, Jesus would come to reclaim that which was lost. So God's plan for rulership never ceased. Jesus came back to seek and to save the lost. That's what he came back for. But also to rule. This is what it says in Luke 4 and 5. I read it to you, but I want to highlight this from verse 6. It has been delivered to me, the devil said. Delivered to me. I like that because it helps me understand that's what our first parents did. They delivered to the devil his rule of the earth. Delivered to me. He couldn't steal it. It was given up by Adam through about God's rule. So through the cross, here's the good news, and this is the Easter story. Jesus got it back. Remember, he said, all authority in heaven has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all people groups. So that authority has been given back. It's been given to us. He said, I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven to the disciples. This is why I say that Christianity is much more than just attending church. We were born to rule. Born to rule. Our original assignment is something we've got to take back, get hold of, and go do. Otherwise, why are we left here? Seriously. Seriously, folks. Why are we left here? But the rulership and this kingdom is like no other kingdom on earth, as we've tried to point out. It's not like the kingdoms of this world. It's absolutely not like the kingdom of darkness. Because he said, you and I have been translated out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his beloved Son. Whole different story. This is Ephesians 5. At one time you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of the light. For the fruit of light is found in all that is good, right, and true. And try to discern what is pleasing to the Lord. And take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them. So we've got a mandate to expose darkness. And you know what happens so often? Because we're born to rule, people do rule, but not in the right way. Trying to lord it over is not one of those ways. We're to expose darkness by turning on the light. That's how you deal with darkness. You turn on the light. So it sort of started like this. Jesus got hold of the 12, and he sent them out with instructions saying, go nowhere among the Gentiles, remember, first to the Jews, and enter no town of the Samaritans, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, and proclaim as you go, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse lepers, and cast out demons. You receive without pain, give without pain. I believe it, Jim, in your prayer this morning, you said about the whole person. You know, God touches the whole person in heaven. And that's what this is all about, the whole person. So many people are demonized and oppressed, and you can see it in their lives. So many people just suffer consistently with sickness. You know, we've grieved, and we continue to grieve over John passing away at 40 years of age. Should not be. It should not be. Now, I'm not going to go into all the, you know, whys and wherefores about healing, but there's something that screams within us that says, this is not right. This belongs to a different kind of kingdom. The kingdom of heaven and heaven itself, remember the franchise? There's no cancer in heaven. There's no death in heaven. There's no illness in heaven. There's no lack in heaven. And it's a franchise on earth. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So just like McDonald's is the flavor wherever you go, so heaven is the same flavor wherever you go. That's why our task as the people of God, wherever we go, whoever we meet with, is to talk about the wonderful kingdom of God and the king that has come. And if they're sick, to pray that they'll be healed. To cast out demons so they wouldn't be oppressed of the devil. And even to raise the dead. Now I know that this goes right, I mean this messes with us completely. But even as far back, as we take the New Testament age, and we go into places like Ireland with Patrick, going to Ireland, St. Patrick, various recorded raisings from the dead, even then. All over the planet today, there are recorded instances of people being raised from the dead. What's that all about? They're going to die again. Sure they are. But it's statements, visible, tangible reality, that the King is still in charge. That the kingdom of God, this franchise, is there. It's the same flavor. It's heaven. So Adam and Eve's commission was to subdue the earth. They were without sin, sickness, and poverty. Not that we've got that. We live with that limitation, but they didn't. But the wonderful thing is, it's the same heaven and it's the same God. We have all the resources of heaven. Did you know that? All the resources of heaven are at our disposal. This franchise has all the resources of heaven. Ephesians 1, I'm going to read this, verse 15. For this reason, because I've heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love toward all the saints, I do not cease to give thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you a spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of him, having the eyes of your hearts enlightened, that you may know what is the hope to which he has called you, what are the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints. If we could just get a glimpse of those resources. And what is the immeasurable greatness of his power. If we could just get a little glimpse of that. Toward us who believe, according to the working of his great might that he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, and above every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. Oh, if we could get a glimpse of that, that's what this kingdom is about. And in verse 22, and he put all things under his feet and gave him as head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. You know, there's about a year's worth of preaching in that verse alone. There really is. This is loaded with so much that I can't explain it adequately, but I think you might be getting the idea. So, if you have an identity problem, somebody came in and stole your identity, you need to get it back to realize who you are. If you're a Christ follower here this morning, you're a child of King Jesus. You're a subject of the King. You're part of the kingdom of God, the authority and the rule of God on earth. That's who you are. Now, isn't that a bit more than just turning up for church every now and then on Sunday? Of course it is, wherever we go. Salvation is available to you. Healing is available to you. Now, deliverance from every unholy thing, every addiction is available to you now. Just got to reach out. I want to just close with this benediction before the end. We'll use the song that we're going to sing at the end to be the end of our service. But this is the benediction. You know, it's from the Living Bible this time, from Numbers 6. May the Lord bless you and protect you. May the Lord's face radiate with joy because of you. May he be gracious to you, show you his favor, and give you his peace. And may that be so for his glory, subjects of the King. So we're going to sing, or if you don't know the song, come to the altar as our closing song today. I invite you to stand.
I heard him broken.
We're here for one another, and if there's someone that you'd like to pray with you and minister to you this morning, please go to them. Feel free to do that. It doesn't have to be at the front, it can be anywhere. But when we come together, it's a great opportunity to minister to one another and to love one another in the Lord. So please take opportunity to do that. God bless you this week. Enjoy it.